Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to celebrate the fact that, at long last, the Civil War is over. It's over. No, not that Civil War. That Civil War was actually over a long time ago. The South lost. The Confederacy lost. The Confederacy doesn't exist. But the other Civil War, since the 1920s, and actually the actual rivalry began in 1894, they have been conducting a civil war down in Oregon between the University of Oregon in Eugene and Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon. And they have decided that because of the current climate and the situation that we have right now, they are no longer going to be referring to that rivalry, the big game that they may or may not get a chance to play this year. It's not going to be called the Civil War anymore. They, in a joint announcement on Friday, the two universities said they made the decision after conversations with university officials and current and former student athletes at both schools. Isn't this terrific? Quote, changing this name is overdue, as it represents a connection to a war fought to perpetuate slavery, Oregon State President Ed Race said in a statement. While not intended as reference to the actual Civil War, Oregon State University sports competition should not provide any misconstrued reference to this divisive episode in American history. That we did not act before to change the name was a mistake. We do so now, along with other important actions to advance equal opportunity and justice for all, and in recognition that Black Lives Matter. Okay, I always thought it was quaint and interesting that they called it a civil war, because unlike Washington State University and the University of Washington, which meet every year in the Apple Cup, the Corvallis and Eugene are not that far away from each other. It's not like they're on other sides of the state. So there really is a civil war. And by the way, some of this civil war stuff has gotten kind of bloody. There was a situation in 1960 when enthusiastic and Civil War, by the way, is the Ducks versus the Beavers, which just doesn't sound good. And the Ducks actually usually prevail over the Beavers. I mean, University of Oregon is a bigger school, but in 1960 they kidnapped the homecoming queen of University of Oregon, and she was actually held for ransom. Now that's pretty serious as part of the festivities involving the game. There have been other occasions where various goalposts have been taken down and burned, and this has not been a serious problem, but it does say something, does it not? That when even a football game that has been going on, they're coming up to the 124th. This will be the 124th formal game. It's been officially designated the Civil War since 1937. And really? Now it has to go away because the real Civil War has become controversial? Actually, it's controversial enough. This goes to clip four, Jeremy. Kayleigh McEnany, the very capable new White House press secretary, was asked an unusual question this morning. She was asked if President Trump believes it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War. There's an easy answer to that, but here's the way that Kelly McEnany handled the question. Listen.
National conversation going on right now about the proper place of symbols of the Confederacy, statues, memorials, names, and the president has repeatedly inserted himself into this debate. And I think a lot of people are trying to understand what his view of memorializing the Confederacy is and the proper place of the Confederate flag. So a couple questions. One, does President Trump believe that it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War? And then two, is he interested in following NASCAR's example and banning the Confederate flag at his own events?
Well, your first question is absolutely absurd. He's proud of the United States of America. Second, with regard to our statues, Americans oppose tearing down our statues. There is a Harvard-Harris poll released just last week that shows 60% of respondents said the statues should remain, and 71% said local governments should block groups from physically destroying the statues. So he stands on the side of preserving our history.
Okay, first of all, I think some of those, that polling data is out of date. I think people have been changing on this. What people are talking about when they overwhelmingly oppose removing Confederate statues or any statues is vandalism. People hate vandalism. And I think it's an important thing to make a distinction between vandalism, which people think they'll matter into their own hands, and then doing it the right way. Over the weekend, there was a historic decision in Mississippi, led by Republicans in Mississippi, to remove the Confederate battle flag from the Mississippi state flag that had been commissioned in 1894. There was another, in fact, follow-up question about the Confederate flag. Listen.
It's actually about the Confederate flag at his rallies. Is he interested in banning the Confederate flag at his rallies?
That would be a question for his campaign, but look, this president's focused on taking action, on fixing problems. It's why he had his executive order just a few weeks ago to keep our streets safe and secure. That's where his focus lies, and I think that those who are tearing down statues, they do appear to have no ideology when they're tearing down statues and defacing statues of Matthias Baldwin, an abolitionist, Hans Christian Haeg, who died fighting for the Union Army during the Civil War, a memorial for African-American soldiers who fought in the Civil War was damaged in Boston, and a monument to fallen police officers was vandalized in Sacramento. This is unacceptable. It's why the president took strong action. It's why he has an executive order saying those tearing down statues will be punished to the fullest extent of the law. It's why four people will charge. He will not stand for lawlessness and chaos. He stands with the 71% of Americans who say there is no place for tearing down statues, as these anarchists are doing across the nation.
Okay, she's entirely correct there, and that was well said and obviously a very effective answer for the president's press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany. However, this issue is very much current, and frankly, there was some of the best coverage I've read of Republicans in the New York Times in some weeks. I mean, occasionally they will give even a Republican who's not named Mitt Romney, they will give Republicans a fair break, and they did for the Republicans in Mississippi. And the Mississippi legislature, both houses, voted overwhelmingly to remove the Confederate battle flag from the flag of the state of Mississippi. And this was an important thing. The Republican governor, Reeves, has said, okay, I'm going to sign it. And then it's going to go to a vote. They're going to have a commission come up with a new flag, and then that new flag will be either approved or not approved by a vote of the people of Mississippi. They're not going to have a vote on whether the Confederate battle flag stays as part of the state flag. They tried that in 2000, and overwhelmingly the people of Mississippi 20 years ago voted to keep the stars and bars. The story, as it's reported in the New York Times, is still embraced by many white Mississippians as a proud display of Old South heritage. That's true. The flag increasingly has come to evoke segregation, racial violence, and a war that had a central aim of preserving slavery. Why would you honor that? That is a question on the table. So where do you draw the line and the distinction? And what about Thomas Jefferson? We'll get to that and more. 1-800-955-1776.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the Medved Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a Medhead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the Medhead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing Medhead members, we've discounted everything at the Medved History Store by 50%.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is amazing. I mean, part of the statement on getting rid of the phrase civil war to refer to the great rivalry between the University of Oregon and Oregon State University. That's the Beavers versus the Ducks, or actually I should say it in the right order. It's the University of Oregon Ducks versus the Oregon State University Beavers. And the Ducks have won more often than the Beavers have. The president of Oregon State University says that we did not act before to change the name from Civil War was a mistake. We do so now, along with other important actions, to advance equal opportunity and justice for all and in recognition that Black Lives Matter. Okay, I don't think anyone will particularly miss the designation Civil War. And frankly, I don't think that many people, even in Mississippi, are going to miss the old state flag. The report on this historic vote over the weekend, so still embraced by many white Mississippians, a proud display of Old South heritage, the flag increasingly has come to evoke segregation, racial violence, and a war that had a central aim of preserving slavery. The flag was adopted in 1894. It was long after, obviously, the war between the states, so 29 years after the war between the states was over. And the whole purpose of the flag, it was part of the growing influence of segregationist Jim Crow, Ku Klux Klan, and part of that whole spate of energy that wanted to perpetuate the myth of the lost cause. And that really is what so many of these Confederate monuments are about, which is why the question to Kayleigh McEnany was not incredibly stupid. In other words, if you believe that it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War, then why memorialize people who fought for not only a losing cause, but for a cause that was wrong? And wrong in fundamental ways, because what people were saying in fighting for the Confederacy, and there's no way of getting away from that. People who dodge that basic truth are lying, and they have no knowledge of the history at all. What people are saying, well, that this was a symbol of states' rights and people were really following. Yeah, but why was states' rights important? They made it very explicit in the Articles of Secession for the various states when they were leaving the Union that the reason this was so important was to protect the institution of slavery. In Mississippi, New York Times reports, the state with the nation's highest percentage of African Americans, that has long been the position of black residents, that the state flag is an alien symbol. It is now the view of many white Mississippians as well. For others, the drag on the state's perception by outsiders and the continuing friction within were battles too costly to keep waging. The vote in the Mississippi House was 91 in favor and 23 opposed. The vote in the Senate was 37-14. The measure now goes to Governor Tate Reeves, Republican, of course, who has said, yes, he will sign it. This is a good moment, and it's something that Republicans ought to take pride in. Kabir Kariem, who is a Democrat, said, I can't even explain how I feel. He's a state representative, and he's black. And after casting a vote that he believed would stand as one of the most important in his legislative career, I'm sure our ancestors are proud. And why would it be important? Well, think about it. If you were living in a state and you looked up to a flag that was put up every day at school, and by the way, they haven't been putting up the Mississippi state flag for several years because of this. State is 38% black. And you're looking up at a flag, and what the flag is it says, this is the flag under which people died in order to keep my ancestors in slavery, in order to keep them in chains, in order to continue treating them as property. There is no basis for this. So where do you draw the line? There was a monumentally smart and valuable column in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend. It's by Sean Wilentz, who's been a guest on this show before. I hope to have him again because he's a professor of history at Princeton, and he's honestly one of the most respected historians. He definitely is a liberal, but he writes extraordinarily well about this question of where you draw the line. And what he says here is this. He says, intentions as well as history help to clarify these matters of memory. There can be no doubt that statues of Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, John C. Calhoun, and others are tributes to slavery, secession, and racial domination. They were built for precisely those reasons. They have no other possible meaning apart from transparent euphemisms about states' rights and federal tyranny. But the same is not true of the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., with its paeans to universal enlightenment, equality, and religious freedom. It is not true of the Lincoln Memorial, a living monument that for decades has been a touchstone for the nation's freedom struggles. Ulysses S. Grant, for his part, who was raised in an abolitionist family, when he received a slave from his slaveholding father-in-law, Grant immediately released him from bondage. Those who know little about Grant hold this against him. Instead, we should honor him for crushing the Confederacy and then, as president, breaking up the Ku Klux Klan, advancing the 15th Amendment, and signing the Civil Rights Act of 1875, the first of its kind and the forerunner of the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964. He then goes on to write for a moment about Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson is heavily and accurately criticized for his Indian removal policies, although historians still dispute how much those policies arose from tragedy, intention, or previous federal policies. But no monument to Jackson celebrates the Trail of Tears or the fact that he owned slaves. He is honored for two lasting accomplishments. As a general, he repelled a massive British invasion at New Orleans in 1815, and as president, he secured the Union by standing up to Calhoun and his militant pro-slavery supporters. Well, see, that's exactly right. The question of looking at any of these matters of symbolism is, what is the symbol supposed to say? And this goes even to something as monumental as Stone Mountain, that gigantic sculpture by Gutzon Borglum, the same guy who did Mount Rushmore. It's a sculpture of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, Jefferson Davis on the side of a mountain. Why was it put up and dedicated, by the way, in 1972? They'd been working on it for years and years and years. It clearly was an attempt to whitewash, to promote, to glorify, to honor a rebellion of people who fired on our flag and killed Americans in order to justify slavery. Does that mean it needs to be blasted? Well, it needs to be contextualized at the very least. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise at gcnlive.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Supreme Court struck down a Louisiana law that would have required abortion doctors to have admitting privileges at hospitals within 30 miles of the clinics. Chief Justice John Roberts siding with the four liberal justices on the court in the decision. granting abortion advocates a surprising victory. Fox News judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano reacts to Chief Justice Roberts' decision.
Today, the Chief Justice says, I'm going with precedent. We can't just change with the political times, and the Constitution doesn't change when different members join the court with different judicial philosophies.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence were never briefed on alleged intelligence involving Russian bounties. McEnany saying there is no consensus within the intelligence community about the allegations. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process, is called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus. A 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Big Michael Medved fan.
The Michael Medved Show.
Just moments before the show, I heard about the passing of a conservative activist and a true American patriot who I liked and admired a great deal. And I wanted to take note of the passing of Donna Hearn. I'd worked with her four different times as a speaker for her educational conference that she does every year. She is the founder and guiding spirit of the Constitutional Coalition out of St. Louis. We were talking about St. Louis earlier. Donna was born in Detroit in 1940, so she was 80. On June 23rd, after a brief illness, Donna Hearn, Nona to her 15 grandchildren, left the Shadowlands, as C.S. Lewis described this life, to enter eternity with her Heavenly Father. She spent the last weeks of her life in her cottage in Leland, Michigan, surrounded by her husband, children, and grandchildren. And may her memory, her love of country, live long after her. And she was one of those people who was just inspired, fired by love of America and what this country means. And that love of America should not be diminished by the disappointing news from the Supreme Court today. AP covers a story. A divided Supreme Court today struck down a Louisiana law regulating abortion clinics, reasserting a commitment to abortion rights over fierce opposition from dissenting conservative justices in the first big abortion case of the Trump era. The significant thing about this is the Louisiana law was one of those more moderate pieces of state legislation that had come forward to regulate abortion. It basically required that doctors could only operate and perform abortions if they had admitting rights to local hospitals. And the reason I believe the law was decided this way, John Roberts was the deciding vote. And 4 years before, there had been a Texas case about a very similar law, and John Roberts had voted on the other side. And that was before the replacement of Anthony Kennedy by Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch voted right on this. Brett Kavanaugh voted right on this, in my opinion. Clarence Thomas had his own lonely dissent. His dissent made it very clear. Clarence Thomas is determined to overturn Casey and Roe. He doesn't believe. He couldn't find anywhere in the Constitution. And, of course, he's right. Anything pertaining to, quote, a right to abortion. That was invented by the court. So how could Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, hold with the other side on this? His reason is stare decisis, the idea that the court had decided this case recently. And even though he was on the other side 4 years ago, he switched so as not to upset or change the current state of the law. So what that means is that the regulation requiring doctors to have admitting privileges at hospitals in Louisiana has been struck down. Pro-abortion forces had made a very big deal out of claiming that this would make abortions unavailable in any reasonable sense to women in the state of Louisiana, Commonwealth of Louisiana. Chief Justice Roberts wrote, "The result in this case is controlled by our decision 4 years ago invalidating a nearly identical Texas law." He did not join the opinion written by Justice Stephen Breyer for the other liberals in Monday's decision, and his position left abortion rights supporters more relieved than elated. However, this is a there's a piece by Matt Lewis over at Daily Beast, and the piece basically says if you look at these Supreme Court decisions that are coming one after another, it's takes away the only argument left for supporting Trump. It doesn't do that. Because one of the things that I think people really do need to know is that this argument over abortion still is based on Roe v. Wade. And in other words, the court has so far let stand bans on abortion in the very late stages of pregnancy. It's up to states at how they do that. The early stages of pregnancy bans may be overturned. David French tweets, he writes out, "The SCOTUS abortion decision is worse than you think. It's not truly 5-4. On the core of the abortion right, it's more like 8-1. Only Justice Clarence Thomas clearly attacks the precedent of Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Commonwealth, Casey versus Planned Parenthood. The other dissenters say this, essentially, apply Casey." That means, in plain English, that even the dissenters, that would be Justice Alito and Justice Gorsuch, Justice Kavanaugh, even the dissenters would likely strike down the Louisiana law if the plaintiffs could show that their access to abortion was substantially impaired. In other words, the law would be upheld only if it didn't do much about abortion at all. And I do think that this is an indication that there is no majority on the Supreme Court at the moment, or close to a majority, to overturn Roe, which was adjudicated in 1973. And does that mean that pro-life efforts are now useless? No, of course not. Because one of the things that the pro-life side should take encouragement and comfort on has been that the greatly decreased rate of abortion. In other words, if abortion opposition really is about saving babies, and I think it is and should be, then obviously there has been a tremendous victory in the sense of the greatly decreased rate of abortion. And that, it seems to me, is something that is worth celebrating. It is not necessarily worth celebrating that Americans are angry with each other about this issue and about everything else. And that's my problem with President Trump having retweeted a little video. It was a video of old timers in a Florida town called The Villages. And when you watch the video, you can see there's some people are Trump supporters and they have American flags and they have MAGA hats and Trump t-shirts and things like that. And they're riding around in golf carts and they're being surrounded and basically insulted by a bunch of people who are holding up signs and calling them Nazis. And at one point at the beginning of the video, near the beginning of the video, well, it sounds like this. Maybe you can hear it. Jeremy, you have that one ready to go? Yeah, that's the clip of the number two.
Where's your white hood?
Okay, the guy shouts out white power. Okay, Trump retweeted the whole thing. And this whole scene of the confrontation, the people shouting at each other. And the president of the United States said, thank you to the great people of The Villages. The radical left do nothing. Democrats will fall in the fall. Corrupt Joe is shot. See you soon. 3 exclamation points. Okay, is it problematic that he deleted it eventually? He said he didn't hear the words white power that you just heard. The problem is, why does he tweet that out anyway? Do people really want that kind of confrontation to continue? That kind of anger and rage at American versus American? We'll get right back to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show. Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694. Most of us, nearly all of us, in fact, have been spending so much more time at home recently that now is the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of our sleep with MyPillow. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on Giza Elegance MyPillows, roll and go anywhere pillows, duvet covers, Giza pillowcases, bolster pillows, and neck pillows. Just go to the radio listener special page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED or call 1-800-320-6280. If you order Mike Lindell's book, your entire MyPillow order will ship for free. Plus, he'll give you a $25 gift card for your next purchase. Don't miss this amazing opportunity to buy one, get one free on pillows, duvets, and more from MyPillow. Call 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280. Or go to the radio listener's special page at MyPillow.com. Promo code MEDVED.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Trump is facing all kinds of challenges right now. I do not believe that there will be lasting damage done to him by the stupid tweet, and it was stupid, that he sent out endorsing a shouting match between 80-year-olds, and it was, in the Villages, Florida. And the reason it was a mistake is not just because he didn't appear to notice, and his spokesman said President Trump didn't hear anyone say white power. Well, it's pretty clear to be heard there, but let's assume that he didn't, because I can't believe that President Trump would actually send out something that said white power on it. And also, the guy who was saying white power probably meant it ironically. The counter-demonstrator, who was clearly very anti-Trump, was saying, hey, wait, where did you leave your Ku Klux Klan hood? Do you have your hood? And later they were calling them Hitler supporters and Nazis. The point is that I think the president is just dead wrong if he believes that showing images of Americans shouting at each other angrily over a bunch of people in golf carts riding along with Trump signs makes either side look good. And I think the real danger for President Trump is people looking at this saying, I don't want another 4 years of this. It sounded like this. This is a cut 2B, Jeremy. It sounded like this when in what the president tweeted out to his 80 million Twitter followers. Listen.
You'll be crying on November 3rd.
You'll be crying on November 3rd.
You're a Nazi.
You'll be crying on November 3rd.
You're a Nazi.
can you feel the love tonight? I mean, it's just sad. Here's the way this has played out. Is Senator Tim Scott was asked about that video by Jake Tapper on CNN. And Tim Scott, I think, has played an increasingly crucial leadership role. He, of course, is the author of the Justice Bill, which is the Republican bill on police reform that is making its way through the Senate, except it was stopped cold by Democrats who refuse even to debate it. But here is Tim Scott asked about this video the president sent out by Jake Tapper on CNN. Listen.
President Trump just retweeted a video this morning featuring one of his apparent supporters shouting, "White power." Take a listen. What's your reaction to the president retweeting that?
Well, there's no question he should not have retweeted it, and he should just take it down.
Does it offend you, though? I mean, it offends me, and I'm white.
Well, listen, I mean, if you watch the entire video, you can't play it because it was so profanity laced. The entire thing was offensive. Certainly the comment about the white power was offensive. There's no question. I mean, we could play politics with it or we can't. I'm not going to. I think it's indefensible. We should take it down. That's what I think.
And the president did just that. And on that, it's a good move. And this entire issue makes me think of something else that appeared in the paper this morning. And it's an Ask Amy column. And Ask Amy is a syndicated advice columnist. And someone who signs a teacher writes in this, "Dear Amy, I'm a married 50-year-old elementary school teacher. Socially and politically, I lean firmly left, and my family is very aware of it. My parents and my in-laws are very conservative and religious. At gatherings, they are vocal about disdain for liberals and Democrats, calling them names, saying they're going to hell, etc. They also voice their dislike of other races, religions, and sexual orientation using bigoted language. I don't enjoy spending time with them. I do not voice my opinions." That's smart. "As I have no interest in being part of their hostile conversations. When the assault begins, I pick up my phone and scroll through and ignore them." That's rude. "I cut time with them as much as possible, but can't cut them out of my life entirely, as it is not my character. My husband lets it go and is mostly politically neutral. He says it's not worth arguing with 80-year-olds. I find his answer irritating. Any suggestions?" Okay, the obvious suggestion from anyone sane and not totally brainwashed by liberal orthodoxy, the proper answer is, your husband's right. And these are your family and his family, apparently, because she said my in-laws and my parents. Okay, so if you disagree with your family and they're elderly, leave it alone. I know somebody who has a grandfather, had a grandfather in his 90s, who used all sorts of improper language, the kind of language that would be career ending. But, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to say, "Grandfather, I'm not going to speak to you anymore"? But here's what, listen to what Amy says in advice. She says, "Dear teacher, you seem to point your irritation toward your husband, whom you claim stays neutral. But you are doing the exact same thing by ignoring comments from both your parents and his that you say are bigoted and offensive. So I think it's time to take these 80-year-olds to school. I can imagine not wanting to waste your breath on your in-laws, but your parents raised you. Surely you can spend some energy to engage them in some thoughtful conversation about their own hate speech. There is absolutely nothing about Christianity that gives believers license to express hatred toward other humans. Aside from religious aspects here, I think it might be time for you to locate your backbone. If you consider yourself a true ally of people who are discriminated against and consigned to hell by ignorant people, then you must use your voice to push back." This, and then she recommends a book that is currently flying off the shelves. I'm reading it now, How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. It's one of two books. Right now, if you look at the bestseller list, and this is amazing to me. I mean, what a moment we're living in right now. The New York Times bestseller list, it has the 10 nonfiction bestsellers. 9 of them are race guilt books. I'm not kidding. Listen to this. Number one bestseller, White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. Historical and cultural analyses on what causes defensive moves by white people and how this inhibits cross-racial dialogue. And So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijeoma Oluo, a look at the contemporary racial landscape of the United States. Number three, How to Be an Anti-Racist. That's the book she recommended, by Ibram Kendi. Number four, Stamped from the Beginning, again by Ibram Kendi, a look at anti-black racist ideas and their effect on the course of American history. Now, the only book that is not on this subject matter is Countdown 1945. That's by Chris Wallace of Fox News. It's about the end of World War II. And then the rest of these, Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria? By Beverly Tatum. The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. Just Mercy, which is quite a good book, actually, by Brian Stevenson. And Me and White Supremacy by Leila F. Saad, and then The Color of Law by Richard Rothstein, the ways in which the government caused residential segregation through racial zoning and other academic practices. This is the only thing that Americans really care to read about right now? Isn't that extraordinary? I mean, the problem with all of this is you end up in a situation where, what do you do? How do you go forward? And again, when you have to, because of political correctness, tell somebody that her 80-year-old parents and in-laws need to be shouted out, you need to take them to school, can we have a little just mercy, maybe? Just a little bit of recognition that not every disagreement, even on very deep issues of our history and race and justice, that not every issue is worthy of shouting and going to war in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Frontsight, America's gun training destination.